you were assigned to what company?
I was assigned to Company G in the weapons platoon, as I say. We trained at Adair. You would think that being Oregon, they would have sent us to the Pacific, but they were having trouble in Europe by that time and could see the German army really was superior. After all, they'd been fighting for several years. They obviously were much more experienced. But we were having difficulty even at that time. And in July, this was after D-Day, we were sent to Fort Leonard Wood on our way to Europe. And we spent a couple of 3 months there and then went to Boston to be sent to the European theater. We went through Gibraltar, landed at Marseille, were sent to the front, which by that time, 7th Army was occupying Alsace and Lorraine up near Strasbourg in the northeast corner, you might say, of France. And we were sent there, arriving on New Year's Eve of 1944. While we were on the trains, traveling 4 miles an hour in 48 dinky railroad cars over newly repaired tracks, it took us 10 days to go about 500 miles. The Battle of the Bulge started on the 16th. We were midway on our way to Strasbourg at that time, and we were not really aware of it for several days. We were cut off, you might say, from communication. But we were stationed along the Rhine River, facing the Rhine, and of course the German troops were on the other side, but it was relatively quiet, except that on the first day of the new year, New Year's Eve at midnight, the Germans commit their last offensive of the war on the Western Front. Well, probably the last one everywhere because the Russians were pushing them back. They had no opportunity for offensives on the East Front. But the last one was an effort to come drive down through the Vosges Mountains, which parallel the Rhine on the west side in France, to relieve pressure on the troops in the Bulge by breaking down through the Vosges. The Vosges were thinly protected by the 7th Army because the 3rd Army had been moved west to fight in the Battle of the Bulge, and the 7th Army had spread out so thin that the Vosges was protected even by cavalrymen with no cavalry, neither mechanized and certainly no horses by that time. But nevertheless, there were cavalry units that were stationed in the Vosges, and the Germans believed they could break through. They did advance about 20 miles beginning at midnight of January the 1st, that is to say that between New Year's Eve and New Year's, in the heavy snow and a complete surprise through very thin lines. In the next 3 days, they had made about 20 miles pushing down in the Vosges. Now, these are big hills. They're not mountains. In the northern Vosges, the mountains are in the southern Vosges. We were in the low Vosges. But our division, actually the division was not all there. The 3 regimental units, the rifle companies were there, but the artillery didn't come for another couple of months due to delayed shipment. The ships weren't available to send them. At any rate, on the evening of the 2nd of January, we were sent in a heavy snow from our stations on the Rhine west to resist the German offensive. We went into the Vosges during the night in trucks in extremely cold weather. It was extremely cold. We were dressed for it, but even so it was cold, and you have to sit in the back of a truck and can't move, can't get any exercise. It was a miserable night. We arrived at a little place called Puberg in the Vosges after having been transferred a couple of times. It was chaotic. Trucks were stuck in the snow, and it was working in the dark, and of course all you had was your little blinkers. You couldn't have any real lights, no truck lights. You were working in the dark and all kinds of difficulties that you can imagine in a chaotic situation like that. But we arrived at Puberg, a little village, no more than a few hundred people, I'm sure, detrucked. Our commander was requested to take a couple of companies down a ridge going toward a little village called Wingen-sur-Moder, which had been captured that very morning by infiltrating German troops that the Americans had reason to believe incorrectly were about 50 in number, which they had conquered the headquarters of one of the battalions for the 45th Division, Oklahoma's troops. We always claimed the 45th Division as ours. But at any rate, they had captured 100 and some and killed a number in the invasion that morning without real resistance, because they'd come in at 5 o'clock while everybody was asleep and there was not a single soul up watching for them. During the snow, they had walked single file several miles, coming through the thin lines undetected completely until they burst on the American troops above Wingen, and then even with the noise of there, the headquarters had not alerted anybody, even though there had been fighting within a mile of the town. At any rate, we, without going into it too deeply, swept that ridge and then pulled back, which was a mistake. We should have stayed there. And we spent the next 3 days, not just us, but our entire division, trying to drive the Germans out of this little town, Wingen, which is several hundred people. Puberg must have been less than 100. Battalion was finally charged with the responsibility to go into the town. Others had tried unsuccessfully and had made part of the way. We'd had an awful lot of casualties. The reason we had a great deal of difficulty was the German invading troops, infiltrating troops, were not just 50. I have written, and I've forgotten how many, 700. It was parts of a regiment, a depleted regiment. That's much smaller, of course. A regiment normally is about 3,000. I don't know the German army rules well enough, but this was the remnants of a regiment that had infiltrated and occupied it. They came through the line in the snow, single file, without ever breaking a line, which is hard to do, as you can imagine, in the dark, starting at midnight until about 5 o'clock when they got where they were.
Not breaking a line, what do you mean?
Well, in single file, if someone slacks off and you lose contact with the person in front of you and you're in the dark, of course, they might have followed the tracks, but it really was dark. In the snow at midnight with no artificial light whatsoever, you almost had to touch the person in front of you, and they had to be quiet, because if they made any noise, an American soldier someplace along the line might have heard them. Their radio unit had been captured before they came through. They had no radio contact. And this entire unit, the 6th SS Mountain Division, had recently come from Finland. Finland had surrendered to the Russians and agreed to help the Russians drive the German troops out of Finland. So they had had to walk most of the way around the coast north of Norway until they could cross to Denmark and then get back into Germany. This was their first action. And these had been fighting the Germans for several years in Finland and were experienced troops. History people say this particular division, the mountain troops, probably were the most experienced troops on the Western Front at the time. And one of the regiments, depleted in size considerably certainly, occupied this little town. And our battalion was the one, theoretically, who drove them out of Wingen. Ironically, they had received a messenger from the main line. See, they had infiltrated. Our lines were north of Wingen, and Wingen, they were completely out by themselves with troops to the north, and we were trying to drive them out of Wingen, but they had infiltrated through the lines, and the 45th Division had troops north of them, and they were out like a sore thumb without any artillery support, without radio contact. They had come from Finland so recently, they had turned in their helmets. They didn't even have helmets. They had the little caps that they wore when they didn't have helmets. And they had no reserves of ammunition. All the ammunition they had was what they brought with them, what they could carry in the snow, which is certainly limited. But they had captured a few tanks, American tanks, in Wingen, and had captured all the rifles, etc., armament that a headquarters company would have, which mostly would be rifles of one sort or another. They had that ammunition and actually used our guns resisting our attack. We were successful in a sense of driving them back on the day that we did actually start through the village. But the irony is they had already had a messenger infiltrate through the lines with the message, retreat, come back through as best you can. but they didn't get the message until about 5 o'clock in the morning, and they obviously did not have time before daybreak, and they could only have come back through the lines to the north, through the 45th lines, in the dark. So they resisted as we entered. We lost numerous. Company F probably lost, well, I know lost most, 19 men killed, plus innumerable wounded. I don't remember how many.
But if they had 700, you say?
Yes,
they had,
by that time, of course, they were thin.
How many did you have?
Oh, we vastly outnumbered them.
So you had more than 700.
When we invaded with two companies, which we had about 300. But by that time, we'd captured so many of them and killed quite a few of them that I have no idea how many were
you
there.
You were using a machine gun, were you?
Well, I was a machine gun squad leader by that time.
You were a commissioned officer by that time, weren't you?
No, I was not. I was a buck sergeant. That is the lowest sergeant. But I had been promoted from a machine gunner when we went overseas. See, I've skipped an awful lot of stuff, haven't I? We had men who were old cadre, and they were too old to go overseas. So several of us were advanced position. Instead of being a machine gunner by that time, I was a squad leader of a machine gun squad, which contains a gunner, an assistant gunner, and two ammunition bearers who were supposed to continually feed ammunition. I had a machine gunner directly underneath me. I had four men under me.
Wasn't it during this time?
And that's during this period. But there were two companies going through the town, and the company of riflemen is about 150. So there were 300 of us trying to go through the village. The Germans were bound to have been thin by that time. There probably weren't more than, well, I know when they left, 200 and some withdrew, so they were about half. But at any rate, it was dark. We had gone through about half the village and were ordered to pull back for the night. It was getting dark enough so that you really couldn't see when they counterattacked. In the counterattack, they came down from the railroad embankment, which was higher, and a hill to the north, which had bothered us all the time, that was occupied by the Germans. It was dark enough so that we couldn't see them. They couldn't see us. But our company commander, Captain Cassidy, he was a lieutenant at that time, Lieutenant Cassidy, found both our machine gunners in our weapons platoon had been wounded. Cassidy found Keeler's gun in the snow there when he left and wasn't experienced enough to fire it. I was looking for Keeler, who had been wounded, and he gave me the machine gun and sat down with me behind a little picket fence, and I fired back at the counterattack and was certainly the only machine gunner that fired. The Germans stopped the attack. Cassidy presumed that it was my firing of the machine gun that slowed them down. Who knows? But at any rate, we spent the night there. And the irony is that we had been ordered to retreat. The Germans didn't need to counterattack any more than we needed to drive them out. They would have retreated that night, which they did. All that they could gather together, the non-wounded people who could go back. There were 200 and some. I wish I'd written that down. They made it back through, but back through the line, they were discovered, and some of them were captured on the way out, way back through the lines.
Were men around you being killed?
In my company, we only lost one killed in that drive because F Company had gone through first, just one company, and they were the ones who really that morning had suffered the casualties. G Company and E Company went side by side through after them, and we lost several wounded, but mostly in the counterattack. But we were lucky in that we were going through territory that had been partially swept. We had only one man killed and several wounded, and most of them were wounded during the counterattack.